Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Toby Mathis with the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast. And I'm joined today by Rocky McKay, who's with Peak. Is it Peak Care, Rocky?
Yeah, Peak Care Assisted Living Homes.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about assisted living, residential assisted living specifically. But before we jump into that, I just want you to get to know our resident expert today. Rocky, why don't you give them a little bit of background and who you are, where you grew up, and all that fun stuff.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm Rocky McKay. I originally grew up in Idaho, and I've been living down here in Scottsdale, Arizona now since 97. And so then I got into the residential assisted living homes, started getting into it about almost 4 years ago now, when we started researching of how what needs to be done. And then we launched our company and have been successfully operating now for a little over 2 years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. A lot of folks don't know exactly what assisted living is or residential assisted living. So could you break it down into bite-sized pieces so they understand what we're talking about?
Yeah. So, I mean, really the basic, there's two things for assisted living. You have the big box facilities that, you know, you always see everywhere, the big 100-person places and everything like that. And as residential assisted living is, you're really in homes and neighborhoods. You can drive by one of our homes and not even know it's a residential assisted living.
It's just that house, right? They're just everybody.
A house, yeah.
It's your home with a bunch of residents, and maybe it's been tailored so they each have a bathroom with their bedroom or something.
Yeah. The insides have usually been remodeled to fit the needs of it, depending on what the individual is wanting to accomplish with that individual home. Mm-hmm. With my homes, you know, they're all 10 bedrooms homes. So we do have a lot of bathrooms, a lot of bedrooms that we've remodeled our homes into. So it just varies from state to state on how many rooms you can have, you know, compared to how many residents. And but in Arizona, we can have up to 10 in a residential setting.
Mm-hmm. And so are these people dementia patients? Are they just elder folks? Are there regular adults that live in these?
You know, most of them are, they need to have, they have some sort of like need for their activities of daily living, ADL is what we call them. Mm-hmm. So they need probably help managing medications, helping, you know, do some washing. You know, so usually people come in here after independent living. So they might be in a big box for independent living, but then they need more care because they might be physically disabled. They might be in a wheelchair walker. They need more help. Or they do get up to dementia, Alzheimer's that we have in here that are forgetful. They might be physically able to do a lot of things, but they are can't remember to do it. So that's the type of individuals that come into our homes.
So an activity of daily living, that's like brushing your teeth, maybe getting dressed, eating.
Yes, all that stuff. We're there to help them assist that, from bathing them, to brushing their teeth, to help them remember to do the basic things. So sometimes, you know, like I said, you deal with the dementia, Alzheimer's, they can't remember things, or they might think that they've already did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but physically they could do it, but they just need help remembering to do it.
You just need a helping hand. So in other words, maybe somebody shouldn't be living alone.
Correct.
And instead of living alone, they live with a few other people in a home, in a house.
Yeah, in a house. They have access to the kitchen, everything that you can see. You walk in, you're thinking you're going into a normal house when you first walk into it.
Yeah.
We just have a lot more bedrooms.
What's the typical age group that's in your homes?
In my homes, the typical age is they're roughly between 85 and 90.
Wow. Okay. So it's basically, hey, you don't need to be taking care of this stuff. Like my mom's 80 and we have a conversation every time I see her. She loves being independent, but she also needs a little help. And she's every day she said in 2 years, she'll probably transition out. I keep trying to say, well, you know, don't go to a big box. Where are you going to go? And she has her ideas, but this is the idea of somebody actually there that maybe does cooking for you. Maybe does your laundry.
Yeah. We have everybody that does all that stuff from cooking, cleaning, their laundry. So, I mean, really, they're technically just being waited on hand, but they're able to do as much as they're able to do, and we encourage it. So, but, you know, when it comes to, you know, like cooking, we have residents that are remember recipes, and they'll, like, sit there and tell the caregivers how to cook.
Yeah.
And they'll come up with like a menu and everything like that. And the caregivers will cook for everybody else in the house. So it becomes nice and personal.
What caused you to go into this area? What was the draw?
We was really looking, me and my partners, we were looking at a different place to invest in the real estate market. And senior living kept on coming up more and more. And then we came across residential assisted living, and we started really researching this little niche market and found out, you know, there was a big need for, you know, good quality high-end homes that provided really great care. And so we started researching that thing. We're just like, you know, the homes that was offered in the areas that we was looking at here in the Phoenix metro area, they were nice, but there was only a handful that we would really feel comfortable putting our own parents in. So we decided to jump into this to do this better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to provide a type of home that people would really like to live in. And so that's where we started really focusing on doing this stuff. So every home that we have, we've remodeled and brought it up to our standards of what we think they should be at. You know, we far exceed what the state and city even mandates us to do in the home. But we feel that it's better for our residents and for our caregivers who are taking care of our residents. The more the ease that we can make them have ease of use of things, the better for everybody.
All right, changing topics here a little bit. Let's talk about the money of it. So you're into a house that has 10 people. What is the typical monthly fee that you receive so you can operate this per resident?
So between all my homes, I average anywhere from $4,000 up to $7,500 a month.
Wow. Okay, so let's say you had 10 houses or 10 rooms in a house. So you have $75,000 coming in. And your responsibility is to provide round-the-clock care, or is it just during?
No, round-the-clock care. So we offer 24/7 awake staff all the way around. So we have 2 to 3 caregivers on during the day, and then 1 awake at night, sitting there doing bed checks, making sure if anybody who needs help wakes up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom, that we're there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
If they had an accident, you know, that they were changing out their briefs or anything like that in the middle of the night.
Good to you. How are the margins? Are they pretty strong?
Yeah, they're pretty strong. You know, you make a really good, if you operate a good high-end quality home, the margins are very, very well that will rival any, you know, investment out there.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. 2 in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
All right. So who should consider getting into residential assisted living? Not to go become a resident, obviously, but if you're an investor or you own real estate, what should you be looking for as to when you might want to do residential assisted living?
Well, everybody has their own what they're really looking for. If you want to come into residential assisted living, if you own homes that you think would be a good fit, each city might have their own little qualifications of what you have to do to make sure your home is able to be an assisted living home. But you know, it's a good place to where, okay, hey, if you've just been renting out this home, let's say you have a 5,000 square foot home, you've been renting it out, and you rent it out for $2,500 a month or something like that. But you're only making a profit of $500-$600 on it. You know, you can make, you know, convert this house, put a little bit of money into it, and, you know, you can turn around where you can make anywhere from, you know, around $10,000 a month profit.
Is that pretty common to have that type of margin?
Yeah, on the higher ends, yes. If you go to the little bit lower where you're pressing, where you maybe only average 45, you'll probably be looking at $7,000 to $8,000.
Right. So I'm going to set the table for these folks real quick. So there's 3 businesses when you're talking about residential assisted living. There's the real estate itself, having the house. There's being an investor in one, perhaps doing the loan on the home or being the money person to start one up. And then there's the actual active business.
Yes.
And the active business means hiring, having the employees. Is there a magic number of how many homes you should be running when you're an operator and you're running the active business?
Well, it really depends. So like we try to do everything in twos because I can hire one of my managers and they can by state law, can oversee 2 homes.
Okay.
So I only have what? So if I'm only hiring one person, that manager, you know, you're probably not getting your cost, you know, down if you're not running two.
So you should do two. You should do two at a minimum.
In Arizona, yeah. In other states, you know, it's different. But, you know, let's just keep it on Arizona. Two at a minimum is very beneficial.
What's the hardest state to run a residential assisted living in that you've seen?
California.
Yeah, you got to get licensed first and all that. What are the big pitfalls with residential assisted living? Where do you see people trip and fall?
Not understanding the operations side of how much daily involved you have to be into it. You know, you get investors come in here, they know real estate, they come in here, they find a good home, they convert the home, they do everything, and then they struggle of trying to find somebody to get to manage it. You know, this is such a, you know, niche market where it's very hard. People want to know who the owner is or who's making those decisions. And, you know, with these investors or real estate people that own real estate and they might be out of state or anything like that, it's very hard for people to come to terms of like, well, who is this? Can this home disappear on us really quickly? So that's the biggest pitfall I see.
Okay, that's fair enough. Do you see people getting into this, getting in over their head and then having to bail, you know, dumping it or bailing it too soon?
Oh, yes. I've talked with three different people that have done this before. They got into a remodel, it wasn't able to get it filled up or get the traction they wanted to, and they ended up just turning around and selling the homes out to other people.
And rather than doom and gloom, do you have any success stories? Anybody that's done a really great job where you're like, man, that's really awesome what these people do?
Yes. You know, there's, I sit on the association, the Arizona Association for Assisted Living Homes, so I got to know a lot of the homeowners around here. I've seen some great people that come in here, opened up homes, and just really did it right and hired the right people and been able to come in and do it right. And they're happy with their investments. I mean, yeah, there's like, you know, there's three or four homes that I've, you know, helped out with that have become very successful.
If there was one thing that you wish you knew prior to getting into assisted living, what would it be?
Prior to getting into assisted living, I think, you know, of just knowing how much, you know, I mean, especially on the operating side of it, it's, you know, I'm involved in the business every day. It's, you know, it's not a, you know, a 9-to-5 job or anything like that. You know, when you're taking care of people, you have to have the drive and dedication, want to be able to do this. This is, you know, and it's been rewarding for me. So just, you know, getting in here, I really didn't know how much day-to-day operations I'd be in it, but I probably put myself more into it just because I care so much about it.
Now, tell me about you guys, because I understand that you're different. A lot of folks will tell you how to do assisted living, but a lot of folks won't run it for you. Yeah. Your company is a little different. You'll go in and you'll act as the operator for these folks.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have some of our own homes that we've built and done and we operate for ourselves. But we also have a company that can operate for anybody. So if they want to come in and like, hey, I really want to do this. I have this great house I think we can do. I can help them from the start, you know, making sure that's being built, you know, or reconstructed, remodeled right, to if they've already done it, to come in and hire the staff, mm-hmm. to operate and help them get the license, for the house license from the state, and be really focusing on running the operations for them. We hire everybody, and we do all the profit losses for them. We're out there marketing for them, and we do all the bills. So, you know, just like anybody that's in an apartment complex, they go buy an apartment complex. They, you know, it's 100-plus, you know, they hire a management company to come in and do it. And that's pretty much what we do at the same time.
Now, if I have an apartment and I hire a management company, they're charging me probably about 10% of whatever's generated. Is that in line with what you guys do?
Yeah, so I charge 10% on the assisted living. So we divvy up, like, the payroll is dedicated to what is happening at that house. So each caregiver clocks in, clocks out of that house. And we, no matter if we use caregivers elsewhere, it's just what they are working at that specific location. The payroll, the workers' comp, everything's done, is broken out just for that specific location. The meals are ordered specifically for that location. Mm-hmm. So everything is based right on there. We take a 10% management fee off of the gross revenues, and then everything else goes down to their bottom line. And
that's not so bad, is it? That's actually
pretty good. They get a pretty good deal from that. We take the headache away from them.
Yeah. So if you're in, is this only in Arizona, by the way?
I'm only operating in Arizona now. We're looking to expand, but that's going to be a year to 2 years down the road before we expand to other states.
All right. So if you're in Arizona and you're listening and you don't like running your own home and you're saying, hey, it's worth 10% to let somebody else deal with the headaches, then they should contact you. How does somebody get a hold of you, by the way?
They can email me at Rocky, R-O-C-K-Y, at Peak Care Living. That's PEAKCARELIVING.com. Or they can go to our website, which is www.peakcareliving.com, and just hit contact the button, or they can call me at 800-906-1030 and then extension 101.
I'll post all that to Rocky so you don't have to.
No problem.
Otherwise, they're going to be pausing and listening. But you know what? If I was in Arizona and I had assisted living, I'd probably be doing that because I don't want to run my own homes. I actually rent houses or lease houses to operators. And so I have several on the East Coast where it's like, it's different. Everybody's different. Some operators, by the way, it's not just the elder. It could be autistic adults, you know, where somebody just needs to have, you know, somebody watching over that still wants independence and they live in a house. And
we have some younger gentlemen in our homes. They've had just bad accidents that they can't do a lot of things. They're in their 50s that are going to be with us. You know, they just have bad accidents. They don't want to be burdened on their families of somebody that they're taking care of. You know, they can't really do a lot of things. And so whatever insurance they had, or, you know, if it was an accident, you know, they just, you know, they pay monthly. And a lot of times when people come in here, it's a relief because now they're not burdening their family of trying to take care of them.
And sometimes you don't want your family being around. Like, again, I've dealt with this enough to know that sometimes you just don't want the hassle of having to maintain your house.
Yes.
You want to change your own light bulbs. You don't want to cook your own meals. Unless you want to. Like, could a resident in your home cook their own meal if they wanted to?
No, we usually do it for them just because we have so many people that we have to cook for, you know, 10 people. And, you know, just if something happens, the liability reasons is kind of hard to pass by. But, you know, that's why we allow them to, if they want to, design the menu and tell us how to cook it, you know, and so we try to get them involved that way.
So there's a little bit of gift. You know, there's a little bit of gift for these residents, where they're saying. But again, the whole idea is that at least you're not doing it, you know, it's not your family.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned, all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
Now, are most of these private pay? Is this long-term care policies? What's paying for the $4,000 a month?
So ours is private pay, but a lot of these people do have long-term care insurance that they do, but we don't get paid from long-term care insurance. So what usually happens is the long-term care insurance pays the families like 30 to 45 days after. So let's say June 1st, I had a family pay me, and on July 1st, we submit the paperwork to the insurance company saying they were here every day, because most of these insurance companies are paid out daily rates. Mm-hmm. So they want to make sure that the resident was here every day. And then say, okay, we submit to the insurance company that, yes, the family paid us. Here's a paid invoice. They were here every single day. And then they turn around and cut a check back to the family and reimburse
them. All right, I understand it. That's pretty good. Kind of out in closing, what's one piece of advice you'd give to somebody? You can go back a few years and say, hey, before you got into this, what would be the one piece of advice you'd give somebody who's looking at this as a potential?
One piece of advice is, you know, make sure you bring in people that know what they're doing around you. I was lucky enough to have people around me that really helped me get this off the ground. And, you know, and it's a lot of work. You know, you're going to be involved in it daily. So, I mean, if you don't have the time, resources, or the drive to do it, you know, make sure you hire that out to, you know, somebody like us that manages it, because, you know, it takes a lot to take care of the elderly people, and the people expect a lot because you're dealing with somebody's parents. And trust me, if things are not going right, they're sitting there complaining to you every single minute.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been lucky enough to go down and actually teach some continuing education with some of these groups. Are the groups in Arizona all licensed if they're in this realm?
Yes, they have to be licensed by the state. So everybody, even if they only have one resident, up to 10 residents on the residential side, have to be licensed.
And then you guys probably have a bunch of associations. I know of a couple down there, but you guys... associations that you work with.
Yes.
Something you tell somebody is work with folks that are within an association, or would you go outside of it?
Like, I mean, Arizona Assisted Living Homes Association is the one that we is the main one that kind of goes to the state. We try to lobby everything for it. We work with the cities and everything like that. I sit on the executive board of that association. We're the largest association, so we do represent roughly 1,800 homes in the state of Arizona.
Let's just get that. 1,800 homes, not 1,800 residents, but 1,800 homes.
And they can be licensed anywhere from 4 or 5 all the way up to 10.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And I think that's really great. I mean, you can just tell that there's a need. I don't know all the stats, but it seems like the baby boomers are really hitting it right now, right?
Yeah, you're starting to get a lot of the early baby boomers that are early baby boomers are starting to really look at this, maybe start to live independent, come in here. Like I said, my youngest resident that's in here for not besides the two that I talked about earlier, for really needing to be in for the elderly reason is 74. So, I mean, that's right on the cuff of, I think, the baby boomers are the first, you know, generation of baby boomers.
It just seems like there's a growing need for it. And again, I've looked at this. You have the big box. You have some of the higher end where you're paying, like some of these things I've seen, you pay $250,000 just as an entry fee. You lose it. It's gone.
Yeah.
And then you see these where people are actually saying, hey, let's get a really nice house, golf course or something like that, or some nice neighborhood. You'd love to be there anyway. You know, I think our friend Gene used to say you want it to be where you want to drive to it. You don't want to drive by it type place.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of those big boxes scare the heck out of me. It always smells like laminate, you know?
Yeah, it is. You just, you know, you don't get the personalized feeling of being home as in one of those places. You know, the care ratio where it really differentiates on that is the big boxes usually running anywhere from one caregiver to 10 to 15, and I've even seen up to 20 residents one caregiver trying to take care of. And here we run more 1 to 5, even sometimes better than that during the day, depending on what we're doing that. So you're getting a lot better quality care, hands-on touches. Mm-hmm. I mean, where we're usually telling family members, hey, we're seeing this slight change here with your mom or dad. And, you know, we're telling their family, like, okay, we might need to have this checked out. You know, why don't we, you know, have this checked out? Or here's the, you know, things like that where they really rely on us, give them really good feedback of what is happening with their family.
You have eyeballs on them every day.
Yes.
That's a big thing. And I think that's a lot of folks can identify with it. Those of us who have elder parents, or at least an elder parent left, can, I think everybody relates to it, is they want independence, but they also, you want the peace of mind of knowing that somebody's checking in.
Checking, making sure they didn't fall out of bed, do any of that stuff.
And if they have medication, making sure that they're at least taking it.
Yes.
Or if they do trip or fall or something, that they're not sitting there for 2 days before somebody figures it out.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you coming and spending some time.
Thank you.
With us. And again, I'll post your information. So if you're in Arizona and you don't want to run your house, call Rocky. Hey, if you're interested in getting into that realm, you call him too. He's a good guy. Lots of information, really. I could just say from having known him for a bit here that is a good person surrounded by good people. And again, you don't go into this just because you decided you're going to have rental properties. You get into this because you're drawn to it, because you want to help your elders out there and make a difference. So I think that's great. So again, thanks, Rocky, for being with us.
Thank you, Toby.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.